Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey everybody, I'm here with Ryan Leroyd from Shutter Go Click Photography. Ryan is a wedding and family photographer based in the UK. Now, he offers an artistic alternative to traditional wedding photography and portraiture to his clients. How cool is that? Ryan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, and I am super excited to have a conversation with you because...
Oh, me too.
You know, just to give our listeners a bit of background, so today's show is sponsored by Photo Shelter. And so when they recommended Ryan within the list, I'm looking at his work and I'm like, oh, this guy looks super fun and super cool, and he definitely has his own style. So I'm really looking forward to digging into how you run your business.
Oh, that's lovely of you to say. Yeah, I'm really flattered to be on.
How cool. Well, you know, I've looked at your work. And I've seen your about page, we've emailed, we've even had a fun little pre-interview chat for the show where I had to do two takes to get the intro right for you. So I know a bit about you, but I always like to assume that our listeners don't. So Ryan, could you give us an overview of yourself, your background, and how you ended up doing what you're doing today?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think Shutter Go Click, was probably created in a similar way to how a lot of listeners got started. Like I left university kind of bleary-eyed with a heart full of dreams, ready to take on the world. And so I did what all ambitious postgrads do. I got a dead-end job in a call centre, kind of as a temporary thing. Except temporary actually translated to 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was quite a long time doing kind of other jobs, but... in 2010, I was on a train kind of flicking through a camera magazine I'd bought on a whim, and I was perving on a Canon 450D, thinking that right there was going to change my life. And the gadget desire of the moment was kind of a shiny camera to take pictures of everyday life, you know, like flowers and trees and swans, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think after 2 years of monthly payments for that, a bit later I got the urge to upgrade. I craved more resolution in which to capture that elusive rare sparrow in my garden and switched to a Nikon. And my friend actually asked me to shoot their wedding. I remember she actually used the words, if you can make sparrows look that good, then I can't even imagine our wedding pictures. And I thought, you know what, you're right, my sparrows are epic. So I shot the wedding. I think I charged £250 at the time. Wow. But at the time, it felt like Kanye West making it rain, you know?
Right.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Afterwards, I had the huge realization of just, wow, you know, that was awesome. And people are what I want to photograph, nothing else, no matter how fine the sparrow. So I found work online that inspired me and challenged that kind of conventional approach to wedding photography. Mm-hmm. I think right at the get-go, I knew if I was going to do this, I needed to kind of find my own voice. That with just a couple of love-struck strangers, you know, you could make art. You could be creative, you could be bold, you could be strange, you could be a storyteller. But above all else, I could be me. So I was kind of working full time in a call center alongside shooting 20 plus weddings a year for around 4 years. I think I kept that up until May 2015 when I got in one day and I just finally broke. I quit the job and here I am shooting 34 weddings a year and loving every last moment. I seem to remember when I left the office behind that there was one resounding thing in my mind, to just not be a number again, mm-hmm. to not be forced by anyone, to be anything but myself. I still kind of fear ever having to go back to those days. I don't know if you've come from a similar background.
You know, I do, and I totally feel you. It's even you yeah. mentioned getting out of university, getting out of college, and I mean, I've mentioned this on the show. For me, I went to art school.
Yeah.
And it was, I had so much fun. I mean, I would do it again. I loved it. But yeah. I do know I had one gaping hole in the education, in my education. And that was, I had no business knowledge at all.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of released out into the world. So many of us not knowing what I was doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's like you have to find your own way. And one thing I find interesting that you mentioned, Ryan, was you said that a friend asked you to shoot their wedding.
Yeah,
And I find
absolutely.
when I talk to people, it usually goes one of two ways. They either
Yeah.
usually the common denominator, and maybe this is not true with you, and I'd like to know if it was or not, but a lot of people don't realize what they're getting into, and they either
No.
love it or hate it after the fact.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
you loved it.
I did. Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people, I wouldn't tend to advise people to go the way I did, but I could honestly say I've never second shot. I've never assisted on a wedding. I don't even think I'd been to a wedding before someone asked me to photograph theirs. So I literally kind of went straight into it. With no prior knowledge of really what I needed to do. Luckily the pictures, they love the pictures. I did kind of tend to lower their expectations before they got them, saying that I didn't really know what they were going to get. Obviously I can't look back on those pictures and be happy with them now. It was a few years ago now, but I'm sure we've all got those shots from when we first started that we can't really bring back up. I'd say leaving that job, it just gave me kind of the fuel to keep learning really, and to keep improving. And just to keep giving me kind of a working life that allows me to be myself, I guess, and to have a quality of living that gives me a certain kind of level of freedom, which is what photography has kind of given me. But when I first started out, I didn't assist on shoots, and it was just straight into the mouth.
I used to shoot weddings along with family portraits, high school senior photos, and my first wedding, I charged, I want to say less than $500 US dollars, and like you said, it was like I felt like Kanye West and it was making it rain, and it's like I've never made so much money within one
That's
day.
it.
But it's like wedding gigs, it seems to be that thing that friends or family ask unsuspecting newbie hobby photographers to do.
For sure.
And
Definitely.
there's so much that goes into pulling off a successful wedding shoot. I
Oh,
mean, months of
absolutely.
preparation. And I
Yeah,
know
I
you
mean,
know
I.
this, I'm preaching to the choir.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I still get inquiries now where, someone will ask me to shoot the wedding, we're trying to arrange a meeting, and then I'll get a reply a little bit later saying that they've actually got a friend to do it. So it still goes on, it still does happen.
It does, and it's kind of like, I don't want to get ranty because I've ranted before, but I mean, you get what you pay for. And I've been to weddings where they clearly have hired someone to do it for free, and that poor person is blindsided, and they haven't gone over even just like a basic shot list with the couple because they didn't know to do that, and the couple didn't know to do that. And a lot of times I've heard the couple say, "Well, just get whatever you can. We're not picky." It's like, yes, you are. You don't realize it until after
No, until
the fact.
afterwards. Definitely. I know. I mean, but that then again, that and the problem is often these photographers, they wouldn't go in with a contract either, so they don't really have a leg to stand on afterwards. I'm again, it's something that I did, something that I started out doing. No contract, one camera, one lens. I think I used the £250 on my first wedding to spend on a flash.
So Ryan, looking at the images that you create, I mean, I'm browsing through your wedding portfolio, for example, and this is truly art. It's beautiful. It's stunning. And I'm curious, there's clearly you have a style, and I'm sure it ties in with your personality. So could you kind of share with us, and this is kind of off of on the fly, but how did you arrive at your own personal style, especially with so many photographers out there?
If I'm honest, it's probably something that a lot of photographers would be scared of admitting, but it's all about emulation at first. It's all about kind of looking at other people's work. I'd say kind of learning from how they did it technically, until you kind of find your own voice, really. I mean, with myself, I never wanted to start just doing kind of weddings via a conventional approach, because I just didn't feel it, if you know what I mean. I might as well be back in the office if I'm creating work that I didn't really enjoy myself. So by finding the stuff I like, trolling social networks and Instagram and, Facebook groups and stuff like that, you start to get a feel for what you enjoy taking pictures of. And by only kind of projecting the pictures that you're passionate about online, that tends to obviously bring in the clients as well that are also passionate about that kind of photography. But it's just by experimentation, really, and not being afraid to experiment even when you're under pressure. I think that's probably the key. Like I use a lot of prisms and stuff like that, and double exposures and all kinds of things during the wedding itself, even during the ceremony, even during the first kiss, which people are kind of like, how can you take that risk to kind of do that? But if you don't take the risks, then you're not going to get the payoff.
For sure, for sure. And are you, I meant to ask, are you using a second shooter? Do you have an assistant helping you?
I don't tend to use second shooters. I've used a couple in the past, but to be honest, I think the weddings that I tend to do tend to be reasonably small, and I've never had any kind of comeback as to like, no, you haven't got this kind of coverage, blah blah blah. I find that it's probably not true of 90% of people, but I don't know, a second shooter, as well as good coverage, it's probably the reason people use them might be, to have a bit of company on the day and stuff like that. But I just love talking to all the guests and things like that. I find that the more I talk to people that are actually part of the wedding party and interact with them, the closer that you can get later on, and the better the work that comes from that. So I feel like sometimes using a second shooter can kind of hinder that. That's not to say that I wouldn't use one when I have a bigger wedding. But without one at the minute, I tend to cover most of the angles that people want.
And that's an interesting perspective. And everyone has their own process. And by the way, I totally agree. The more that you're able to conversate and connect with your clients, the better the images turn out,
Yeah,
without a doubt.
absolutely.
So, and I'm sitting here, and it's so funny because during interviews, I always have the person that I'm chatting with, I have their website open, and I've looked at their images, at your images before, but still, it's like you can just fall into these, and just looking at, I mean, the connection that you have with your clients, and they're so at ease. There's none of the stiff photos where they have this look of fear in their eyes that I see with, with some, or even how some of maybe my early portraits were that I was creating, where where it's just like you don't yet know how to interact with the client. I had to learn that. But for you, you've got that nailed down, and your technique and your style is nailed down. But one thing I really want to make sure and cover, let's talk about the business side. Because, so many of us think that when we start running our business, it's going to be all unicorns and rainbows, as I like to say, because that's what I thought it was going to be. And I learned the hard way through not charging enough and not finding the right clients
Yeah, for
and
sure.
struggling to pay my bills that there's so much more to this. And I like to say on the show that it may vary per person, but on average, at least for my business, it feels like it's 20% shooting and then 80% business stuff.
Yeah, at least.
So, what did you struggle with and learn as you got your business up and running? Is there anything that stands out to you?
I think the main thing, to be honest, I still have the same struggle with it 5 years on into my business as when I first started, and I think it's more about time management. I think that's probably will always be a struggle. I'd imagine it's a struggle probably in most jobs and most creative fields that aren't kind of a 9 to 5. But I think a lot of the time our job can be perceived as simplistic, from kind of people who aren't in the industry, as in, oh, you just click a button kind of thing.
Please.
But I think balancing shooting, editing, social media, blogging, all alongside the general admin of running a business, can create a challenge. I think back when I started, it was also balancing that as well as another full-time job. So it just became a learning curve. I think when I was doing another full-time job, I was booking off holidays from that job to go and shoot weddings at another job. So it does tend to mean you do have to sacrifice a bit of your social life and your personal life, and obviously that can become a bit of a hindrance. But it's just managing your time and figuring out kind of workflows and ways for you to improve every element of your business, because that's, I think that's the hardest thing that I've experienced when I started out, and even now, really.
And so, are there any particular tools or techniques that might come to mind,
Yeah, I mean,
to streamline your workflow?
there's all kinds of things. I mean, even from initial client contact, I use some apps and stuff that I have templates written down for contact. I know a lot of people will do this anyway, but if someone's getting in touch with inquiries, having a template that you can send out for that. If people are for sending invoices, for sending your contracts out, I send a I have templates saved on my phone, and I can just kind of email those out whenever that kind of chain of contact happens, even down to when I've delivered the pictures, asking for a review on Facebook. I have a default template for that. After they've left a review on Facebook, I send out another template which asks for a Google review, just for them to copy and paste it over. It's kind of all those kind of default points of contact in your chain. If you can template those, then it's going to save you so much time kind of down the line. I also there's even during shooting as well. What I tend to do is on my note app as well on my phone, I tend to write quite big posts for social media on Facebook and stuff like that, little stories of the day, which will then form the basis of a blog post later on. So during the day, if something funny happens, or there's a notable detail at the wedding, or there's some cool shots that I take, I'll kind of make a note on my phone as I go along during the day. And
Very
then when
nice.
I get to posting the previews, from the wedding day, I can kind of can make the full post just from those kind of bulleted points that I've made on my phone during the actual shooting. I find that helps because my memory's terrible. I don't know about yours. That's, yeah.
I'm the same
The,
way.
There's that boat in there. Yeah, my memory is terrible. Thank God for photography. So it's definitely true in my account. But it just means that you've kind of got the stuff there to write down, rather than you spending another hour on top of your posting thinking about what happened, stuff like that. Getting a good editing workflow down, and kind of get images to clients. I mean, Photo Shelter obviously helps with that. On my case.
Absolutely. And I do want to make sure and touch on the role in your business because, running your own photography business, it's like we wear a whole lot of hats. And talking to a lot of photographers, getting up a website that number one looks professional, number two is easy to design. Sometimes it can be intimidating for photographers trying to find a solution for this. And once you do find the right solution, it can make your life so much easier. And so
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, Ryan, what is the role that Photo Shelter plays in your business specifically?
Yeah, it's funny, really, because it's hard not to sound like a fanboy when I'm talking about a photo shelter. I can honestly say there's no checks coming through my door for endorsing them. But I could honestly say without them, I wouldn't even be doing this today. I think when I first started, I downloaded all the Photo Shelter SEO guides, all the guides on social media. There was just an absolute wealth of kind of knowledge content that you could download and implement within your business while you were building your site. I think I read them all multiple times and kind of put them into my workflow. I think just by providing me with that as a startup was invaluable in getting me where I am today. Aside from that, obviously there's all the tools I've needed to deliver the product to the client fast and problem free as well. I mean, it's just been flawless since I've used it.
And I'm so glad you brought up photo delivery because I think that really is something. Once you get it right, it really makes you look professional.
Definitely. I mean, it even goes down to creating albums as well. I mean, there's like a selection facility built into Photo Shelter that I get clients to use to pick pictures for their albums after the wedding. All kinds of things. And also, I mean, the SEO tools are invaluable, like within Photo Shelter itself. I mean, I'm pretty obsessive compulsive, so I do tend to apply tags, you know, descriptions, all that kind of thing. But without the initial knowledge of what you're putting in those boxes for each picture, you know, you wouldn't have had a clue. But they do provide all that information there as well. So no, they've been great.
And I'm curious, because looking at your site, which is very well done, and you've got quite a bit of work up there, how long did it take you to like get up and running with Photo Shelter, just to set up the first iteration of your site?
The first iteration took no time at all. I mean, obviously, you know, it takes a little while to get all the kind of the metadata into the pictures and stuff for you to rank on search engines. But the initial setup to actually have a good looking site, it's no time at all.
Excellent, excellent. That's great. Because, you know, I've been in the position where it can be a scary thing trying to set up a website. Or I've talked to other photographers where I ask, can I see their work? And they say, oh, I only have a Facebook page because I don't have a website yet. Because setting up a website is scary. And just to let our listeners
Yeah,
know,
for sure.
it doesn't have to be this scary thing. It can actually be fun, believe it or not. Fun
Definitely.
and quick to get up and running. So, how cool.
Yeah, I mean, it can be expensive if you hire someone else to do it as well,
Oh my
so
goodness. Right. And even having the power to update your own website yourself, that's
it's
huge.
great. Yeah, absolutely. I do know a couple of photographers who do have to send off kind of changes to people for them to implement something as simple as changing a logo on a header of the website. So yeah, it is definitely beneficial to be able to do that yourself.
How cool. How cool. Now, earlier in the interview, Ryan, you mentioned that as you discovered your style, you were able to find clients that fit you, which I think is so important because
Yeah.
attracting the wrong clients or clients who are not a good fit, it can really make a business not so fun to run. So I want to kind of
Definitely.
dig into this a little bit deeper. What have you found to be the most effective techniques for finding the right clients for your specific
Yeah.
business?
I mean, there's probably no definitive answer to this, but the things that I've used, I mean, it probably draws back to what I was saying before. I remember initially when I set up my business with again obsessive compulsive tendencies, I've tried to be pretty on the ball with SEO by keywording, adding descriptions and tags to pictures, and kind of really drilling down my stylistic appeal to a prospective client. I think I remember by starting initially when I very first started Shutter GoClick, I think I wrote a list of applicable keywords that are related to my business, along with a couple of sentences that described Shutter GoClick. I mean, that sentence I think still exists today. It's the artistic alternative to traditional wedding photography in Yorkshire.
I
Not
love
that it's imprinted in my brain or anything,
it.
but you can see. But just having that can help define your market and your kind of unique selling point, if you like. I think implementing those across the board on social media content, putting them into blog posts on you know, hyperlink text within blogs and stuff can all kind of go into search engines reaching your business through those kind of terms. But alongside that, I get a lot of work through Facebook and Instagram. I think Facebook is probably my main channel over Instagram, just because of the ability to tag brides and grooms in posts. I think that's the biggest one. I think a couple of days after the wedding, I tend to post a set of preview images and tag them in each one. And that way the wedding's still fresh in people's minds. Guests have been around you all day. So seeing you work so quick is just, you know, bam, maximum impact. I think Instagram I post every day as well. I actually use a scheduler to post at the same times each day. And it means I can have kind of a week or two's worth of content planned by spending a bit of time within the app one morning and not really having to think about it for a couple of weeks after that. If I'm honest, Instagram, I feel like I should be probably putting in more interaction to gain more clients through that channel. But with Facebook pulling in, I feel like my kind of efforts are better spent on that when I have the time. But it's nice to be able to automate content just so that I can actually put something up, because you can't take value away from that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of times, one of the most important things that we can do is to identify the social media channel that's the most effective for our business. And so it's great that that Facebook is where you get a lot of bang for your buck, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Hopefully that's as long as it stays the same and they don't change it every week.
Right. Well, it's and I love that you're not just relying on Facebook. I mean, like you mentioned, you touched on SEO and keywording and having a unique selling point. I mean, just to share a fun story from my past, one of my many, many mistakes, because I've made every mistake in the book. It's like you
I'm
think
sure
it'd
most
be,
of
right?
us.
It's how we learn.
Yeah.
And you'd think it would be almost common sense to show images that relate to the future type of work that you want to get. But for me, back when I was doing family portraits and wedding stuff, and today I'm doing corporate, mostly corporate headshots and group shots. But back in the day, doing the family stuff, you'd go to my website and it'd be like this mishmash of images. There'd be family stuff, and I remember I had some images on the homepage that really had no business being there. Like I'd gone to a
I did
car
exactly
show,
the same thing.
right? And it's like as an artist, we fall in love that with our images or the process, but we have to be able to edit, what we put on our website. And I had a couple of car photos from an auto show, and the lighting was awesome, and I thought they were pretty darn good images, but like it had no relation to the type of work that I was trying to get. Or,
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
we have to realize that we have to be
Absolutely.
on
I mean,
point.
it often like that, having a blog and putting them on there separately from your website is quite a good way of doing that as
Right.
well.
I
I mean,
like that.
there's no reason why you can't kind of share that work. It's just maybe on your main portfolio, keep it off. Because I used to have all kinds of stuff on mine as well. I think when I first started out in weddings, I probably had a site with like wildlife pictures alongside weddings.
Right.
Unless I'm going to do the wedding of a couple of goats at some point, I'm not sure. I don't think I'm going to pulling in the clients through those images. But yeah, definitely. Like even travel pictures, some people don't think put them on your website, but sharing a blog post of travel pictures if you're a wedding photographer can be really beneficial, because if you're tagging your blog posts with a New York wedding, even though it's not a wedding, and you're putting in New York travel pictures, you might even get kind of clients that are kind of abroad. They find your wedding photography, they find your travel photography. There's no downside in doing that. It's just mainly in your portfolio. It's probably best to separate them.
Well, Ryan, I think that's a really great suggestion, actually, including these images that may not fit on your homepage, putting them into a blog post. That's really cool. And I mean, it even gives people reading through your blog a chance to know you,
Yeah,
and see your work
absolutely.
and the potential for travel gigs. I like that. Oh.
Definitely.
So cool. It's like always, as I'm having these conversations on the show, I'm like, why did I not know this stuff years ago? It would have made my life so much easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. It's one of those things, but you learn as you go along, don't you?
I do.
It's always a learning process. That's what makes it interesting.
Always. So, is there a particular photography resource, tool, book, anything that you would recommend to our listeners to help them with their businesses?
Wow. I mean, businesses, well, aside from PhotoShell, there's quite a few things. I mean, I use apps and stuff like that on my phone for organization and stuff like that. I mean, I use an app called Things. I don't know if you've ever used
I
that.
have not. Things.
It's just called Things. Yeah, and it's literally a to-do list, which sounds crazy that that could possibly help your business, but just having a strong plan for each day of what you're going to do, even those small changes that you want to implement in your business, can be invaluable. I mean, it syncs between my Mac and my iPhone as well, so it's
Very
something
nice.
that I can take with you. I use it for putting my group shots on when I go to weddings, so you can just take them off. I find that really helpful. I'd recommend Planoly for Instagram as well. I mentioned that I do scheduling for Instagram. It's a in kind of one chunk of your day, rather than kind of getting to the point where you're going to post on Instagram and having to think about your hashtags there and then.
And say the
What
name
else?
one more time, Plannerly.
Planoly. Yeah, so Planoly. Planoly.
Ah,
Yeah,
interesting.
it's
Okay.
it's my thick Yorkshire accent coming through again.
I'd never
So,
heard of that app before, so that's
yeah, it's really
interesting.
cool. It's a great app, yeah. I'd also give a shout out to Smart Albums as well, and Smart Slides. I don't know if you've used those, but
I
they're
heard of
kind of
them.
album and slideshow creation tools. But prior to using them, I was spending an eternity creating an album, going through each page layout individually. But it's literally they have literally halved my creation times for albums. And obviously that time saved is time that you can be putting into your business in other ways. So yeah, I think those are the main tools that I can recommend.
How cool. How cool. Thank you, Ryan. And we're coming up to the end of this interview, which always makes me sad because I feel like we could go for hours just
You definitely
talking right
could, yeah.
about the ins and outs of wedding photography. But unfortunately, I don't know if our listeners would last through a marathon or if my voice would last through a marathon. So I do, however, want to make sure and ask you one of the most important questions. Tell us where we can find you online.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, my website is shuttergoclick.com. That's where you can find all my work. Facebook is Shutter Go Click Photography if you want to search for me on there, and then Instagram Shutter Go Click as well. Big surprise, eh?
Perfect. Perfect. I love it. And thank you again, Ryan, for just being on the show. This has been too much fun. Thanks for just chilling and chatting with us.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast in search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.